Welcome to the DIY Detail Podcast. I am Nick McGurk. We're going to be joined today by Carlos Serrano and, of course, Ivan LaCroix from DIY Detail. But before we introduce you to Carlos Serrano in person, I put this together with some of his YouTube clips. He's a detailer out of Dallas, Texas.
For 6 years, I have I've been busting my butt.
The auto detailing journey for Carlos Serrano goes back 6 years.
All right, so this next tip is how I pretty much eliminate a lot of this hairs going everywhere.
When he quit his job on impulse and decided to go into business for himself.
For 6 years, I've been trying to prove people that I have a dream.
The detailer had steady work until he didn't.
And I would tell customers, like, just give me an opportunity.
And with bills piling up, he was evicted from his apartment.
The only membership I stayed up to date with paying was 24-hour fitness. And that's where, you know, after a long day of work, I would go. I didn't even work out, but I did go there to shower, to brush my teeth.
They wanted to see a video of, I guess, the way I made my vortex.
Carlos Serrano, who you might see on YouTube or Instagram. He's tenacious on interiors. He's grown a lot, showcasing different products and methods. It took him a lot of hard work to get here.
And I get emotional because a lot of people doubted me.
There's no doubt Carlos has made some mistakes. Haven't we all, though, right? There's even less doubt that he's made some waves in this industry because of his successes. So today, we're here to talk with him about his journey.
And I don't know if you've been struggling in your business. Maybe nothing is going right. The only thing I can honestly tell you is don't quit.
Don't quit. That's some amazing advice, Carlos. I'm sorry if I laid it on thick there with the emotion, but
man.
You're an awesome dude. And I just want to say hello and welcome to you and Ivan. How are we doing today, guys?
Good, good.
Excellent. And great intro. You know, I've known Carlos for a little while through YouTube. We haven't met physically yet, but that's going to happen very soon. But Carlos is really a true, true, honest person. And everything he puts out comes from the heart. And, you know, those little clips of him crying, those were real emotion. And Carlos is by far one of the realest.
We lost Ivan there. But Carlos, you're a real one, my friend. Do you want to react to that video and give us a sense of what? Because I took that from a very emotional video where you went through your journey. You were talking about the truck. We'll get Ivan back in a second. But do you want to just explain that video a little bit before we get into more of this interview?
So that clip there is pretty much the day that I was able to hold, obviously, all my 6 years of hard work of paying off my truck that really I started my business with. And that's really the truck that, you know, it's seen all my struggles from the get-go. I slept in this truck, you know, like the video said, you know, I've been evicted and I didn't have anywhere to go. And I slept in this truck for 3 months. So it's like there's a lot of emotion of just, you know, I guess gratification of, you know, making it through those obstacles. And really, I think it was only me and my truck that it's like we're going to make it through. So just, you know, just the emotions, I think, of saying, like, I did it. It just means a lot to me.
Ivan, you see a lot of detailers in their journeys, and a lot of people think they can detail really well, and they don't last as a business owner. But I even asked you, I'm like, why, what is it so much about detailers that sometimes, this isn't Carlos, but they can get big egos? And Ivan, you explained to me once, like, because everyone really just builds it themselves. Like, it is a DIY thing, whether you're a pro or a person at home. You do it yourself, and there's a lot of pride in there, but there's a lot of struggle. So Ivan, you know, seeing Carlos's journey, what do you think about that?
Well, like you say, a lot of detailers, you know, they let their ego get in front of them because it is a business that you built. You started from nothing, you build it up. And with Carlos, the big difference is his ego is about the size of one of a flea. There's no ego involved in anything he does. Carlos does it to help others. And it's very, you know, when you see his YouTube channel, and if you're not subscribed to his YouTube channel, go right now, subscribe. Hopefully Nick can put a link above here. But nonetheless, Carlos,
I'm new to this. I'll try.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. This is Nick's first experience with StreamYard. So hold on. This, knowing Nick, it will be great. But nonetheless, with Carlos, what he has built in his business and also his YouTube channel is this aura, and it's not an aura, it's the reality. He's just that great a guy. You talk to him offline, you talk to him online. Anything he does because he wants to, because he needs to, and because he feels that it's helping someone else. He does everything that he does to help someone else. His whole YouTube channel is based around making it easier and better for other people, not for him, for other people. And one of the biggest parts of that, and one that touched me a lot, was a little while ago, you helped a guy named Tony. And Tony was just, a guy out in his luck. Carlos organized a bunch of detailers for one day to show up in a parking lot and detail cars as a charity event. And Tony was one of these people. Tony did not know he was the charity when Carlos did this. And at the end of the day, they gave him a vehicle, not just helped him out, gave him a bit of cash. They actually gave him a car or a truck for his detailing business. And that to me is a testament of who Carlos is and what he's doing for the industry.
Carlos, it's weird to be told that you're great or good. And it's like, how do you react to that? So let's just start with, how did you decide to quit your job? What were you doing and what made you decide, I'm just going to become a detailer? Because I mean, a lot of people have that dream, but they're too afraid to do it, probably for good reasons, because they don't want to go homeless, and you've come through it. So here we are. Tell us about your story.
Yeah. So, I've been in this industry for well over a decade. I started when I was in eighth grade here, And I worked at the same, so car wash was literally my first job. And I worked at the same location for 17 years. So literally from childhood, literally all the way to adulthood. And finally, I think after so long, when it comes to working for someone, there's only so high you can go. And I remember when I had told the owners of that car wash, I was like, hey, I've been here for so long. Look at my numbers. They're great. Let's see if I can get a raise. As a manager, I was making $10 after, and that was working for them almost like 6 or 7 years. So they were real tight with their budget. And I won't forget, when he said, well, this is as high as you're going to go. And what impelled me to quit the job is I took a vacation, and I was having car troubles, and I wasn't going to make it on the day of that I needed a return. So I arrived to the job one day late, and they were waiting for me already, the three owners. And when I sat down, this is what made me impulsively just quit the next day. But they said, as long as I work for their business, I could kiss my vacations goodbye. Mm-hmm. And I would never get a vacation as long as I was employed by this car wash. And I was like, okay, I understand or whatever. So literally the next day, well, the same day around 3 a.m., well, the next day at 3 a.m., I called them and they were like, what's wrong? And I was like, hey, I quit. And I just quit on them. No money saved. I had, like, this wasn't planned. So I literally had no money saved. I was younger at that time. So spending money, like crazy and stuff, So when I quit, I just quit. And that's when really the journey began of my mobile detailing career.
What did it feel like when you quit?
Oh, it felt good until the next day that reality hit. I was like, well, I don't have a job now. What am I going to do? And it's always been very easy for me to go to another car wash and just say, hey, I'm looking for a job, because I have the experience and, I would get hired pretty quickly. But that wasn't my dream. I think my dream was always to just not clock in, to not have somebody tell me what to do, to hurry up and stuff like that. So I had to make this work one way or another.
So what did you start out with? How did you start getting clients? Like, tell me about your setup and how you started to gain a little traction.
Yeah, so my setup was real simple back then. Obviously, in the 2000s, I was this car wash taught me how to detail cars very old school fashion, and that was with a bucket and a wet vacuum. So when I quit, that is all I had. I literally went to Home Depot and got me some Zep carpet shampoo, which Zep back then was like the main was like very popular. So, and then I had a, I got like a cheap wash mitt. And then I would just dump the wash mitt into the bucket and wringed it out. And that would be like my upholstery application. And I would just use a brush, and then I would use the wet vacuum as my extractor. Because I had nothing. I didn't have no extractor. I had no generator. So I was doing everything very just like old school. And I remember I had no business card. So I remember writing on notebook paper, my name, and on the back, I would always write, I'm just looking for an opportunity to clean your car. And I did that all by hand. And I would just cut them into like little business cards. And I can still remember, like, I would give them to people. They would read them. They'll just crumble it up and throw it away.
How did you distribute those? Did you put them on cars?
I would just hand them out to people. And I would tell them like, hey man, I'm a new detailer. You know, I'm just looking for an opportunity, to detail your car, you know? And they would look at it. Obviously presentation is key. So, you know, they wouldn't see like, oh, you know, a fancy business card or anything like that. But for those who did give me an opportunity, I think that was more of a, you know, just is gratification. And I thank God that till today, I still have some, you know, a lot of those customers that started my business.
I remember finding you on YouTube, and Ivan, chime in whenever you'd like here. I remember finding you on YouTube, you seemed like a grinder who was appealing to people like yourself who knew what it was like to start with nothing and start giving themselves a little bit of a dream, right? Like, as hard as I work, mm-hmm. is as much money as I can make. Like, that's part of the dream of detailing, because it doesn't take that much to get in. Now, succeeding and being profitable down the line, that's Ivan's bread and butter, because it's a lot harder to do that. But I remember some of the tips and techniques early on that kind of got you a name for yourself. What were some of those? I know you mixed up like some super clean and something else.
Yeah,
like,
so
what were some of your little like OG tricks, the Carlos specials?
So what I'm known on YouTube and probably all over Facebook forums is something called the Serrano sauce.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was my very inexpensive all-purpose cleaner, which was it was super clean, 10-to-1, and then I would put 8 drops of Dawn dish soap. And what that created was, one, the Dawn dish soap. I was like, if it's safe for ducks, like, I'm sure it's safe for interiors. So what I noticed was it was a very sudsy yet gentle, like, product. And I'm still using it till today.
Really?
People say, like, man, that thing burns plastics or burn leathers. And it's like, I've never had an issue with it, right? And then people started, like, I guess, like, making fun of me. And then it's like, I guess because of making fun of me, they ended up trying it. And then they would inbox me and they're like, hey, man, this is actually working. You know, so I would help a lot of entry detailers kind of mix things up to where it's affordable. And it was, the goal is like, build with this cheap part first and then start getting momentum. And then you start buying like better products. Obviously, now I thank God where, you know, I have the funds to where I can buy better products. But, you know, in a pinch, I'll always go to Serrano sauce all day.
Yeah.
What do you think of Serrano sauce, Ivan?
Well, you know, like you said, it could be a little caustic in some areas, but it's something that got Carlos where he is in terms of he needed something affordable, he needed something that worked, and he needed something he'd get right away. And that's exactly what he built. So with Serrano sauce, you have the dish soap that, you know, you can buy anywhere. And the super clean, you know, any Walmart or big box store has it in stock. So, no, is it the safest? No, is it the best? No, but it works and it does what it needs to do. And, yeah. You know, Carlos is, through his YouTube channel, is discovering other products now and seeing how they work. But like you say, he goes back to what he knows, and the Serrano sauce is what he knows. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's no right or wrong way of detailing. There's just, we need to make our customers happy. We need to be profitable. Beyond that, do what you need to do.
Absolutely. Yeah, and Carlos, I would say just like, I reached out to you, gosh, probably 6 months ago, right when we were starting in September,
yeah.
and sent you some ceramic glass. I was like, let me just send you some of this stuff and you let me know what you think. And you did a couple of videos on it. And I think ceramic gloss is like this perfect product for detailers because the price point and the durability is like, and you can talk about that in a second, but you did a video or so, and this is how I know that like your message resonates with other guys, is like they, you know, you have about 10,000, maybe 11,000 YouTube subscribers. Like I said, you're not Pan the Organizer level, but your followers are like very, very engaged and loyal to you, because like you can feel your passion. Like, you're an emotional guy, bro. You wear it on your sleeve.
I'm an emotional detailer.
Yeah, and I'll be done in a second. But then this guy, Ed Ornelius, reached out to me. He's probably someone you know from one of your followers. He's like, hey, if Carlo says it's legit, I'm going to get some ceramic gloss from you. So I talked him through it, and he put an order in. And I just remember that experience. Like, the guys who follow you really, really love you and your journey and everything. So I don't know. Can you speak to that of, like, who you're trying to appeal to and maybe, like, what you're doing this for, like, your why?
Yeah, so the reason... The YouTube channel or my YouTube journey is really, I think, catered to the new people. Because I remember there was a time in my life where nobody wanted to help me. Nobody wanted to teach me. Because obviously I was only taught what car washes, like the basics, right? And when I started getting more like into this business, there's so much that I didn't know, right? And I learned by mistakes. But when I would reach out to people, nobody wanted to help me, or they're like, no, I don't have time. So really this, my journey is catered to the new people, helping them how to speed their time on interiors, because that's mostly what I'm known for. But my why is really just, my why is that one day, you know, everybody who watches me can say, like, by watching one of my videos, they were able to successfully do an interior, or they bought this product and they actually loved it. So the why is just to just see everybody, like, literally just make more money than I have, you know, in a way, if that makes sense.
Totally.
And very much so.
I think you mentioned some haters along the way. And I actually had this conversation with a guy I met the other day at a concert. And he was actually a DJ for this artist. So we were just chatting about, I was talking about the music industry, but he's like, I live my life by the rule of tens. Three people are going to love me. Three people are going to hate me. And four people don't care at all. They're very, like, apathetic. They don't give a, you know, whatever. And so, yeah. So I feel like you've had some haters over the years. How has that affected you? Because I think if you have haters, you're doing something right. But you mentioned it earlier, so I wanted to bring up the rule of tens. I never heard that before, but I really liked it.
You know, it's tough because they always have something to say, whether it's good. Well, it's never going to be good. It's always bad. But it's not easy. I remember when I got, like, my first, like, hate email, they were like, you know, who would let you into YouTube? You need to go back to Mexico. And I was like, you know, that was like, oh, dang. Like, I didn't know this still existed. But, you know, I take it, you know, I love all feedback. I think I convert it into just positive energy. And I think I'm at a point in my life where I've been down so much that it's like, really, you can't knock me any more down, that I just keep moving forward. You know, I will literally forget about that comment or forget about the haters. And, you know, I have a goal in my life, and that's just to help everybody. And if I let one comment or two comments, you know, bring me down, then it's going to bring really, really who I am. And I think my goal in life is to always show people just, you know, that there's so much more to life than just, you know, negativity.
Ivan, what's your message about the haters? You've seen it all over the decades in detailing, like, the negativity online. Like, what comments do you have about the haters out there?
Because we thanks get for them feeding too. The algorithm. Yeah, thanks for feeding the algorithm. That's basically what they're doing. You know, they need their voice. They need to express themselves some way. They're aiming it at us for some reason, and that's fine. You know, they're Carlos, much like us. You know, it's water off a duck's back. It's, yes, it affects us a little bit, but in reality, we know that these people need to say something. They're there for a reason, and in some instances, they actually make us better. It's very rare, but in some instances, they do. And the times that they don't, it's not a big deal. We just move on. And, you know, like I say, they're helping us by feeding the algorithm. So keep up those nasty comments. We love them.
No, detailing can be pretty lonely. Detailing can be pretty lonely. And I think when people reach out with some of that negativity, they're just reaching out for connection. I don't know. What do you think about that, Carlos? You're a mobile detailer. Like, it can get kind of lonely sometimes.
Yeah. So I think they just want to be heard, like Ivan said. And it just sucks. It's like, when I see one of those negative comments, it's like, all right, he's watching the video. So keep going, you know, and it's like, I'll see him comment again. And I'm like, hey, I learned that real quickly. I was like, just keep watching the video, you know, to the very end.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Make me that Google AdSense money.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, all 3 cents of it per video, not per person watching it. But anyways, the other thing that the haters bring to us, though, is it's showing that, you know, they're interacting with us. So they're watching us. They're doing that part of it. But a lot of people are afraid of change. And a lot of the videos I've put out over the years, we're putting in new techniques and new ways of doing things. And that's when we get the hater. That's when we get the, oh, this can't work. It's impossible. Nick and I are our most popular video right now. And it's also our most, let's say, hated on video is the 5-5-5 method. I've been doing it for 10 years now, ever since I invented that pad. And it works. But unless you've tried it, there's no way you can even imagine that it works. And, so the haters, I understand where they're coming from. They're going, well, it's impossible. It's never worked for me, blah, blah, blah. But they're not using the right product. They're not using the right pad. They're not using the right technique. So, of course, it's not going to work for them. And also, in some instances, we're hurting people's egos by saying you don't need to have perfect paint to put a coating on. You don't need to have a shop that is sterile inside to do detailing. Carlos, you're a mobile detailer. A lot of mobile detailers don't get love on YouTube, and they get hate comments, and I'm sure you've seen them, because of, well, you can't do that outside, or there's no way you can do a good job because you're working in someone's driveway. Mobile detailers can do just as good a job as anyone else, if not better, and they have to do it in conditions that us wusses and shops would never stand for. So
I honestly miss mobile detailing, Carlos. Like, I have a shop now, but there's, I don't know, what I liked about it, honestly, going back to that human connection part, is you're in their home and they see you bust your butt. So for me, I was never all that fast, but people watch me and they're like, man, he's still out there, you know? Yeah. So like, they can tell you're working hard and they really appreciate you. And like, I kind of miss that part of the variables always being different and having to think on your feet, and you better have a decent setup. Like, I don't know, maybe talk about how your setup has evolved over the years. Cause I know you did a recent video where you have all the stuff inside and the pullout, and
talk
about how your truck has evolved over the years.
Yeah. So my truck has taken a 360 finally, I think last year. I was very, I was a messy detailer just cause I didn't have a proper setup for it, but the setup has changed throughout the years to just improve really my timing, and efficiency, of course. So I definitely made some upgrades with better equipment. And I think I tell this a lot, is you don't need to go out and buy whatever you see me, showcase or another detailer. Really work truly with your budget, with what you can afford. And I tell them a lot of times, it's like, you can look in your garage at your home or your apartment, you have something there that is quality related or detail related that you can use in the real world. You just kind of have to think a little bit outside of the box, and you can get amazing results without having to buy all the equipment that, a lot of us carry.
It's just harder work, right?
Harder work.
Yeah. But even with all the best stuff, don't you think detailing is still hard work?
Yes. Oh, for sure.
No matter what.
No matter what. I think especially for those who are like me and been doing interior detailing, like, that's harder work, I feel like, than more of a paint correction. But I feel like overall detailing is very labor extensive.
Ivan?
Well, definitely. Detailing, no matter how you look at it, involves labor. And, your new setup, you're simplifying the way of doing things. You're making it easier on yourself. You're getting more organized. And at the same time, a lot of detailers overcomplicate their own lives by getting too much stuff. And when you have too many options, when you have too many choices, when you have too many tools to do the same job, you actually end up slowing yourself down. I've seen mobile detailers that will drag out a steamer, an extractor, a vacuum cleaner, plug them all in, wait for the steamer to get warm before they even start the detail, because they're so involved in the minutia of, I have all these tools and I have to use them all, as opposed to getting in there, getting it done, and satisfying the customer. And, Carlos is a more of a lean and mean type of guy, which is great because his efficiency is there because he's able to do it, because he's worked with less to begin with. When he gets a new tool, it's not all about the tool. It's, how can I put this into my system and make it work better?
Carlos, what's the biggest time-saving method you found for interiors? Because I feel like you get great interior quality, but you fly through those.
Honestly, the Vortex Air Tool is my best friend. So air for me is a key ingredient to making my business successful or making my interiors the way that they come out. And that's truly just finding a system that works for you and really just repeat it over and over. And I think that's a question I get asked a lot is like, man, how are you so quick? You know, they all say like, oh, you know, I just started and my timing is way off, right? And I tell them I've been doing this for so long that it's just repetition, you know, and then just repeat the same thing over and over. But get tools that are going to make your job easier. So like that air tool truly is a game changer to blow interiors, to blow out my engines, to blow out like the wheels, right? So one tool can do so much more than having to buy like three different types of tools.
I was gonna say, what's the best investment you've made on a piece of equipment? Or obviously maybe Ivan would say the best investment you could probably make is training, right? I think that's mm-hmm. some of the best investments I've ever made is showing up someplace, getting education, and then having that sort of community of detailers that I learn from, and then I can network. And when I get in a pinch, I can call them or Facebook Messenger or FaceTime and be like, hey, I don't know what to do with this paint. Can you help me out? So, I mean, that's another one. But like, do you want to talk about like maybe the best investment you've made and then the worst, biggest waste of money?
I think the best investment I made was getting an air compressor. Because I was very old school and I was like, I don't need this. And I had to give in to all these tools that I would see all the detailers use. And I was like, you know, I'm not going to spend my money on that. But the air tool really helped. I think the most waste of money, I think now would be my big $3,000 extractor that I bought, obviously, 6 years ago. Because now, like, times changed. Like, I used to do interior so much that, obviously, like, I would need it. But now that I've done, you know, more of, I guess 6 years later, my business has changed drastically to where my extractor now is not getting no use. So, you know, I could have literally bought a cheaper extractor way back then and I would have been fine.
Wait, so are you doing more paint correction and coatings or why are you getting used?
Now I am getting more, I'm actually doing more paint corrections and coatings. But, you know, I feel like the extractor was a waste of money.
I had one in my shop, Carlos, and we processed thousands of cars a year and maybe use the extractor on two or three cars in a year. So yeah, for us, the extractor was definitely the most unused tool in the shop. But yeah. So you're progressing into more coatings and paint correction. How did you evolve your business from interiors to that?
Honestly, I think just throughout the years, was more showcasing more exterior work because that was really the only way that I was really going to be able to showcase what I'm able to provide was I need to put more of this exterior stuff. And I was really against paint corrections and ceramic coatings because my detailing business is always always going to be involved around cost for the consumer, right? So when I started hearing the prices of, you know, a paint correction or a two-step or a ceramic coating, I was like, there is no way that my customers are going to pay me this much money to do exteriors. So I had to give in. And I'll never forget when I got my first, like, true ceramic coating process, customer pay, I was like, okay, so there's people out there that are willing to pay this type of money for their exteriors. So that's when I was like, okay, bye-bye interiors kind of deal. And I was like, I need to start pushing more on this side. But, you know, I'll take an interior over an exterior all day, every day.
Really?
Yeah.
How come?
I just love interiors, man. There's just something about them. That's truly my passion. Like, I will literally, I'll be smiling from beginning to end while I'm cleaning that car.
Wow. So what's your method then if you don't use an extractor? I've seen a couple of videos where you talk about here's how to do an interior without an extractor. I think I saw you using the steamer with a triangle head. What advice do you have? Because I honestly am a carpet snob where I'm like, the true way, according to Shaw, the biggest carpet manufacturer is to hot water extract your carpets, right? Because I went to like carpet cleaning technician school, and I'm in the wintertime in the cold, so we get ice melt and all these things. And Ivan's going to give me the. I was in Canada, Nick, so I didn't use an extractor, and I ran a profitable business, but all that. But I, you know, what are your tricks to not need an extractor?
So I think technology and products have evolved, and I think me as a detailer, I'm still trying to give in. Into what a lot of people call like a dry upholstery cleaning, where I think right now the most popular product I see a lot of detailers use is by P&S. Was it like Bomber and then
Carpet
this other
Bomber,
two?
I think. And I tried that for a while,
You know, am I for that process? I'm still trying to give in. But, you know, when the interior doesn't need extraction, therefore I would use like my, I use Flex products. Truly, because when I saw your video of when you went to the warehouse and all that, that video was really cool. But I use those types of products, and then I'll use my steamer and a towel, and then I will agitate it with the steamer, and then I will mop it up with like one of my drying towels. And I have yet to have really any issues. But when they're
so
pretty
you
bad,
can, you can use one of those products like BioBreak from Bridgepoint mm-hmm. Systems, steam it, and then wipe it down and not need to extract, and you still get great results. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Dang, I think I was just too snobby about it. I was like, I must have a low pH product in my extractor basin to neutralize the fibers, prevent wicking and browning, and have them be crispy and, you know, get soil attracted. It's like sometimes you got to make money as a detailer. Like, get it clean for the customer and move on. Like, it's going to get
move
dirty.
On,
it's a car, you know?
I think majority of my cars, when they're interiors, like, I'm pulling out the extractor because I guess it's just for me, that's like the true way of cleaning interior seats, of course, and carpets. I won't use the dry process very often because I just feel like I'm cheating, you know, like my customers, you know, and the buildup is still going to stay in, you know, in the foam or in the seats. I'm just temporarily hiding it. So that's why I haven't given into the P&S like Trifecta model system. And I stick with my Flex products all day, every day.
Yeah. And I think that's a pretty good place to go if you want the deep dive carpet and upholstery cleaning.
Yeah.
Ivan, what is one thing that you think all detailers should know in 2023? Carlos, experienced guys like him, new people. You got your finger on the pulse. You're always traveling, doing trainings and meeting detailers. And, you know, we probably have some of them watching this podcast right now.
Well, you know, the one thing I see a lot on Instagram and Facebook and all that fun, all those fun places is we don't need to make a car perfect. We need to make it clean. We need to make it as the customer wants it, not how we want. And as detailers, we see stuff that no one ever will see again and has never seen before. So, you know, work for your customer's needs, not your own needs. And that's something that the industry is changing. It's getting to that. You know, I coined a phrase many years scratches. Well, now I see it.
Oh, wait, you coined a phrase and then you just,
that to me,
we just lost you.
It's a good thing.
You said you coined a phrase and then your internet cut out.
Oh, well, I'm still here. Okay. Well, shiny scratches. So shiny scratches are, you know, basically meaning that you're not getting rid of every scratch on the surface, or you're not making the paint perfect. You're making it to where the customer will like their paint. And that's, you know, we see it popping up here and there on the groups and the forums and all that. So it's nice to see that, and that the industry is changing in that direction.
Carlos, where have you found that you can get away with not dialing it 100% in and the customer like may not never notice? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not trying to say we ever cut corners, mm-hmm. but there's a way to spend 12 hours on an interior and never be done. There's a way to do it in like two or three and have customers who are stoked. So where have you maybe like given less love to now that you've like wisened up and learned how to be profitable and notice what the customer notices or doesn't?
Honestly, the vents. Because I don't have to really put a lot of effort into it. You know, just a couple brushes off and you're good. Usually me, like my method, I always condition the vents anyways. It's not like I'm hiding the dirt or anything. It's just, you know, it just makes it look better to the eye. And that's truly what detailing has taught me, is that like a detailer's eye to a customer's eye is just like 10 times different. You know, you can take a bad car, and even times when I'm like, I don't like the way this interior is looking, you know, and the customer comes out and they're like, oh my God, this looks way better. And I'm like, in my eyes, it looks like crap, you know, but they're happy.
I'm not done yet.
So, yeah. You know, when I finish it and I still see stains and I know that they're going to come back, and, you know, like there's many times where I look at the cars and I'm like, this is it's I'm not happy with it. But it's just because of how long that car has just probably been unmaintained that there's so much we can do. And I give it to them and they're like ecstatic, like they're excited. And I'm like, OK, you know, if you like it, I love it.
So what is your vent process? Because I like to, if I have a steamer with me at the time, you know, I like to steam, you know, very carefully and then, you know, brush and everything. And then I typically will like do an air compressor at the end to kind of blow it all out. And with our interior clean and protect, sometimes I'll just like spray it all the way in the vents and make sure it's all covered and then kind of air compressor with a towel over it and just kind of even it all out. In the past, I would take one of those Shine aerosol sprays, the silicone sprays that kind of smell like maybe a Stoner Trim Shine, something like that, and do the vents. What is your cleaning to conditioning process? Because I always felt like even after I cleaned them really well, there'd still be dirt around. And so I felt like I was kind of hiding it, but really I'd cleaned it three freaking times, you know, and now it's time to just make it pop and move on, you know. But what is your process?
Like my process is just real simple. Like I'll spray a cleaner in there, let it dwell. I'll grab my steamer, steam the vents really quick, and then I'll just vortex air tool and that's it. You know, very quick, very efficient to where it's like I'm not there really getting each vent, trying to make it perfect. Like time is money, you know, and it's like I'd rather use my energy on something else or another area rather than like really like just sit there on these vents all day. Like I see some detailers, like they're spending their time on the cars and I'm like, you need to move it.
So what is your process for interior detailing? Like Ivan will always say, find a process and stick with it, right? Like every time kind of thing. What is yours?
My process is always, it's blowing out the interior first, blow like the seats and the carpets. And then next pretty much is I will start cleaning all the, usually I start from driver's side and work my way to the passenger side. So I start from the dashboard, then I'll go to the, like the center console area, the cup holders, I'll go to my steering wheel. And then I work my way. If I have leather, then I'll do the leather seats. Then I'm going to go out to do the doors. And then I work my way back inside from the driver's side and then work my way all the way around. And then I'll do like my vacuuming real quick. Obviously, like my extractor, that's one of the reasons I do like it because I can use it as a vacuum. So once I do that, then I'll start vacuuming everything really quick. And then I'll begin my like extraction process.
So you start your extraction process after all that? Because I always found that it takes a long time for the carpets to dry. Like, do you have air movers or how do you get the carpets dry in time for the customer?
So I have air movers now, but you also a heat extractor. And then I just mop up, you know, as much as I can. That's why I have so many drying towels that I will use them to my advantage to really like mop up the floor. Before I had air movers, then I would turn the car on. And put the AC full blast on both for the floor and like the front. And that helps speed my time up as well.
And you're in Texas, man. You got that hot sun. Sometimes on a cold winter day, those carpets stay wet for a long time.
Yeah, so that's where I'll just turn the cars on. But in the summer, then things are dry within probably 20 minutes.
Yeah, for sure. So tell me this, now that we're 38 minutes in, ceramic gloss. We're not even plugging our product, right? We kind of wanted to start an interview segment where on these podcasts, we're not talking about our products. We just want to make interesting, you know, interview videos with people in the industry where you could just be driving and listening to this or detailing and just like, hey, man, I want to know more about this guy. So, but you tried ceramic gloss and I even told you, I'm like, if you don't like it, like there's no pressure. Like I'm not telling you to do anything. Just try this stuff out. And you made videos. Is that your favorite product from us? Like tell me a little bit about...
I think there's no time that I don't advertise ceramic gloss. I try to be very like brand loyal in a way. I stick to what I like and you ain't gonna move me from there, you know, and that just goes before I used to like, you know, advertise this other company a lot and you know, things went sideways and, you know, then I had to find something else. But when ceramic gloss came into the picture, I was very skeptical. Because there's so many products out there that don't, like, they sound good, but they don't last. And when I saw your pricing on it, I was like, dang, this is affordable. You know, and I won't forget the first time I used it, and I think I sent you the video on it. It was glossy, but the slickness that I got, like, right after, that's what, like, sold me. Because, you know, the slicker the product it feels, like, for me, it's like, this is good. And then I started really using it with more on, like, every car I would touch just to really get a feel for it. And, man, it's for me, it makes sense in my business structure because it's affordable. You know, and some people are like, how is it affordable? You know, it's like, you know, $18 for the 16 ounce or whatever. I was like, just order, you know, I always tell them order like seven because seven's usually like my number that I order. And I get free shipping, which some people are like, that doesn't make sense. But to me, it does. But it's really affordable and you really can maximize the results by using that product. You know, if you want to do it as an add-on, to your packages, you know, that, I think really it's a broad spectrum on how much you can really use that ceramic gloss.
Well, and there's products in that category that are 2-3 times that in the detailing space, and ours is legit. And I know that it's in that league, if not, you know, I think it's the best. But obviously I'm a little biased repping the DIY detail shirt brand company. So one thing I think about it is like how many cars you can get out of that 16 ounce bottle. Like I think I get about cars a bottle. Like what do you get out of a bottle?
Honestly, I think I did like 13 cars.
With one bottle?
I think so because I think I remember I sent you a picture of all the cars I did, you know, and I was like, okay, this is one, this is two, this is, so I think I got like 13, maybe 15 cars max out of just that one bottle.
So like a little over $1, you know, a car, like, come on.
It makes sense. That's why literally is I do a care package, which is, it has a bag with any ceramic coating that I sell. I give them a care package and it comes with two towels, two soft towels. And then they get a DIY ceramic gloss, 16 ounce bottle. And I tell them, you know, whenever you wash your car, you know, or whenever I service it, I'm going to use obviously like my own products. But if I don't come and you decide to hand wash it or whatever, you have these products here that are perfect, you know, to maintain your vehicle. And customers have really enjoyed it because they'll start from the paint, then they'll take it to the wheels. And then they're like, hey, I ended up using it on the inside. Is that okay? And I'm like, yeah, like, you know, experiment with it like I have. And it's a solid, solid product. So I'm happy to know that, you know, these, my customers are getting a product that I can back and I love enjoying. It's not something that it's like forceful because they see on my channel or they see daily that I'm, you know, using it. So it's not something that it's like, oh, it's just giving me something he doesn't use, because I like to give customers stuff that I can at least back with my word.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we started, I told Ivan, I'm like, I want ceramic gloss to be priced very competitively so that guys like Carlos, guys who are watching Carlos starting out, can feel like there's value in their business, because we're a DIY brand, right? But I still am a detailer at heart. And so it's like, I wanted something that my dad would be able to do on his car after the car wash, or someone who's hand washing can spray on as a drying aid, but also something that a detailer will love for the value, you know? So I appreciate you letting me take us there for a second. I guess I had another question too, is like, you've been in the game 6 years or so. That's about how long I've been doing it as well. What has changed? Like for me, the first thing I was like, if I asked myself that question, what would it be? And there's just a lot of new cats in the game. There's like a lot of more detailers. YouTube has gotten more saturated. Even my community has gotten way more saturated with detailers. Like what have you noticed over the last 6 years, like change from where you sit?
I think what I've seen the most change is in so many products have come out.
We like the rain, Ivan. You can keep the window open. It's a nice, it's like a rainy day vibe.
Yeah, okay. But I think
if you don't mind the noise, we're good.
That's good.
I like it. Give a little ambiance.
Yes. But I think just products throughout time have changed drastically. So you know, a lot of detailers that are just new, they're literally just buying whatever they see because it's the new thing, right? But I've kind of learned throughout the years is just kind of stay content with what you've been using and make it work, right? I'm not all for the hype of the new stuff, right? And I think literally last week, I was at a meet and greet and PNS was there. And I don't think they liked me very much because they were like,
"Why?
Do you like?" They were like, "Do you like Beatmaker?" And I was like, "Yeah, you know, it started off good, you know, but I think now it's more overhyped." And he was like, "Well, what do you use?" Like, you know, and I was like, "I use a DIY ceramic gloss."
Ooh, shots fired.
And they were like, "No, but Beatmaker is the best, and you have to pair it with Dreammaker." And I was like, "No, I'm happy with what I'm using." And it's like he just kept pushing the brand, and I was like, "I'm good. Like, I only use like a couple things from PNS, you know." And I was like, "Some stuff is overhyped." So I was like, "Dang, Carlos, you're just digging yourself into a bigger hole here."
Dude, but you're real. Like, when Ivan was with Optimum, and Ivan and Dan, you know, you guys pushed Optimum Synergy and said that I should use every product, right? But I would try every product, and they didn't all work for me, right? Like, I didn't like a couple of them, but you guys kept saying that, you know, it's important, especially Dan would push, like, the Synergy, and you should ever, like, I think the reality is detailers are going to do whatever detailers are going to do. So just find what you like and stick with it. So even if it's a mix and match with other companies and everything, like, whatever, but once you find something that works, then it's time to stick with it. Have fun, try the new stuff. If you're a YouTuber, whatever, people send you stuff, but like, it's okay to just find something that works. Because stuff keeps coming out that's great, but if it worked on cars like 3 years ago, probably still gonna work today. You know, like, stuff always keeps getting better. That's our brand. We come up with awesome formulations, and that's what we do. But keeping it real, you know, like, whoever's out there, just use what works for you. And if you want to try our stuff, that's amazing. We'd love that for you to trust the source. But like, we're also not going to try to push it down your throats. You know, if you want to use Super Clean and Dawn, that Serrano sauce, hey, baby, let's do it.
I think to this day, every time the Serrano sauce comment comes into play, I'm like, oh my God, I'm about to get killed.
Very good. Awkward silence. Do you feel like,
what, no,
you
not thinking, awkward, Ivan? Silence. No, well, Carlos, what, you know, what would you like people to know about you? What do you want? How do you want people to remember or learn about Carlos Serrano?
I think I would love to be remembered. And that's funny you talk about that, because recently a detailer had asked me that, like, hey, if you were to die today, how would you want to be remembered? And I was like, honestly, I would love to be remembered as a detailer who really was always about the detailer, was always looking for the best route or the best ways or how to economize, you know. But in general, it's just helping out the community, because I feel like that's truly my goal in life, and my calling is to help everyone as much as I can. So that's really what I would want to be remembered as, probably the detailer who gave his time to all of us or something like that.
Excellent.
I like the saying of, like, don't give up, but maybe this is for Carlos or Ivan, you know. And Carlos, your story is that you didn't give up and you've come through so much, and that realness, I think, is what people vibe with. But there's also a common sense thing. Maybe this is an Ivan question. When should you give up? Like, when should you give up if your dream is to detail? And, like, what do you see, Ivan, as, like, things just aren't working? Because this is not going to be a path for everybody. I know that's like a weird question, but like, sometimes you should give up on things to focus on other things. It doesn't mean you're failing. It means you're failing forward, right? You're learning. What have you seen out there, Ivan, when it might be a good idea to, like, hey, it's not giving up, but like, maybe I should cease this PPF part of my business, or I should stop trying to be a detailer. Anyway, I'll give you the floor.
Well, you know, a lot of people, they overthink this industry. They overthink what they're doing, and they just keep digging themselves deeper and deeper into a hole. If what you're doing is not putting food on the table, it's not feeding your family, find another way. It's great to say that you're doing, you know, the best paint corrections in the industry and you're spending 36 hours polishing a car. Does your customer really need that? Does your family really need that? So that's, you know, my takeaway is, just if you're doing something, you might be doing it very well, but you might be doing it too well.
Carlos, any final thoughts, my friend?
Honestly, I think when it's time to give up, it's truly family is a big thing for me. Obviously, now being married, my wife has, you know, she has three kids, and, you know, obviously my son. I think timing is very important. So if that starts to take away, if this business takes away time from them, it's kind of when I have to take a step back and see, you know, like, is this really worth it, right? Is this really worth for me all this time maybe that I'm putting into it, losing my family? You know, that's probably when I kind of have to see, okay, I may have to maybe take something off from my business to accommodate that, right? But, you know, probably if it's losing family, then, yeah, it's probably be like, it's time to stop.
And, I mean, I had a full-time job and was detailing every day and was not really showing up for my family the way that I should have been. And, man, I'm so grateful for everything that I've learned since then. But, yeah, ended up getting a divorce. I mean, and I'm not the only one, and I'm okay to bring it up because I know that will resonate with other people out there who may be struggling at home with a partner who wants them around more. And I'm grateful for where I am now and all the things I've learned along the way. It helped me work on myself and kind of try to get perspective of what mattered. But it caused a lot of pain for the family that I wasn't around because I was so obsessed with detailing. So it's a very interesting journey, and hopefully you just stay communicating with your partner, right? And you guys are on the same page about it, because I don't know. It's like a dog, man. It'll take as much as love as you give it. As long as you want to give more love, like, it will take it, right? I don't know. The shop always needs cleaning. The towels always need cleaning. You could always post one more thing. You could always be... It never ends. So, well, with that, you guys, man, I'm so grateful for you, Carlos. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Ivan, where do we find you in the LaCroix Cruiser today? Oh, he's already gone. No, he's there.
No, I'm back.
Where are you, dude?
I never went anywhere.
Where are you, like, geographically in this universe?
in Cobbtown, Georgia at the moment.
Oh, cool. What are you doing up there? Down there? Over there?
Just in transit on our way to... actually, on my way to see you. So, but that'll be in a couple weeks.
Yeah,
you don't have to clean the shop yet, but it's gonna happen.
Well, you're coming to Utah?
There's a good chance, yes.
I have two more boxes of lights that are sitting in there that we need to put up. By we, I mean I won't have COVID this time, so I will help you on the scissor lift, and you'll
okay.
You'll enjoy that. We'll film some content. So, Carlos, if you're ever up in Utah, my friend, it'd be fun. Maybe we can host a training
definitely,
one day,
and we could that'd be cool.
We could school them on interior cleaning or something.
Interiors, speed test or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This would be a good trail.
And we will be seeing Carlos, actually the three of us, will be at the Car Supplies Warehouse gathering in April. There's a meet and greet there for everyone. So if that's something that you're interested in, I know Carlos is going to be there. Nick and I are going to be there. And there's a lot of other known YouTubers and a little less known YouTubers that are going to be there.
So that's an open to everybody thing, like the public and the detailers are all going to come and hang out.
The 29th.
Correct. Yeah. Heck yeah. 29th. Well, it's an open house.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's a very, I don't think that's happened before, has it, in the detailing space?
Not that I know of.
Carlos, how did it feel to get that invite?
I was very surprised, to be honest. Honestly, I think in general, I think, you know, I don't expect anything from anybody. I don't see myself as like one of the top detailers that are on any of the forums, you know, and to get an invite like that, it's like, you know, it's kind of a little bit overwhelming because I, you know, I just don't ever see myself as, you know, like the greatest or anything like that. But having just that opportunity, you know, next to big names, you know, like Ivan and I think Pam, the organizer, yourself, I think that's what makes me more nervous because it's like, you know, I get to meet like big names out there and at least present myself to them because I've seen them through the screen. And it's like, now I can like literally shake your hand and just say, you know, how grateful I am for, you know, seeing your stuff throughout the years and really just making us all better.
Well, I'm excited. I hope people who have followed your channel for a while show up. I know Chicago is probably a big trip for people, but for all the detail nerds out there, be kind of a fun experience for sure.
Yeah, it should be fun. Yeah. I'm very nervous.
You're nervous?
Yeah, I'm nervous.
Really?
Nothing to be nervous about. You've got this.
If I get nervous about stuff, I've always got Ivan, you know, because you've been doing it for so long, Ivan. I've always got that sounding board like Ivan, man. Like, we went to SEMA this year and I had never gone to SEMA. Well, I always been Hawk Pro, and then now it's okay, now we're DIY detail, but we're not we didn't have a booth there or whatever, but it's like people know I'm with Ivan, so it was just a different vibe, you know, and I had never gone for the whole week before. And Ivan, what's it like? You know, how do I have enough energy to be here on day three? And Ivan, you mentioned like the year of COVID, you and Sylvie got a nasty flu. And then this last year I got COVID at SEMA. So it may sound like trouble in paradise. Ooh, I'm going to this convention for 4 days. But man, those are long days, man. Those are a lot of handshakes, a lot of conversations, a lot of fun. But
will DIY ever have a booth at a SEMA?
Oh, there's a chance.
Yeah.
Hopefully that'd be cool. It's a big investment. So
yeah,
we're still a very young company. We don't have a lot of money in the bank, so going to SEMA does take a lot of investment, a lot of planning, a lot of time. So, but yeah, eventually we'll be there.
Yeah, we're 6 months old, so like, yeah, it's you think about who you followed as a brand 6 years ago, and I mean they're still around, and like to compare ourselves to them, and this is in my head. I'm like, well, they literally existed when I started detailing. They were already a brand. So we're 6 months old, just one day at a time. We keep showing up. And anyway, man, this is a great conversation, guys.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'll see you in April.
See you guys in April.
Shameless. Now it's time for your shameless plugs.
Oh, yeah. Where can we find you?
Usually on YouTube under Serrano's Mobile. On Instagram, it should be Serrano's Mobile LLC, which I'm not too active there. And obviously, I do have a Facebook group called Saucin with Carlos, where I created that group after I got booted from a group.
There's got to be a little drama along the way, man. Keep it spicy.
I tell you, man, it's crazy. You know, it's kind of crazy how it happened and what it happened, but you know, I honestly feel it happened because of that company right here, and I'm assuming they got jealous and everything just went downhill.
Well, I think what we'll see in April too, and what I've realized with detailers is once you get in person and you just talk to each other and you're all humans, it takes away a lot of the BS and a lot of the stories that we create for ourselves about who is what and what are they about and how do they feel about me?
I highly agree to that.
You know what I'm saying? Like the egos dissolve a little bit. And it's like, we're just cleaning cars and we're not just cleaning cars and this is our lives and we take great pride in it and people care a lot about it, but it kind of brings some of that humility and reality to the world when you actually take the screen away.
Yeah, for sure. You know what I'm saying? I think that truly is very true. I think I think what transpired with me and that group, it opened up doors that I think, would probably have never opened up because of me always kind of saying like, okay, you know, I'm gonna listen to your advice and, you know, I'm not gonna do it. But now that it's I'm by myself, it's like, I want to experience and see really like, oh, let's, you know, give more opportunities to other things that are coming my way instead of just trying to just like, you know, say no to invitations. So I'm very excited, you know, for everything that's, you know, hopefully coming in my life in many years to come.
I mean, think about it from where you sit, Ivan, like being in the industry for so long. If you're like playing the long game, Carlos, and you're going to be here in 10 years as a detailer and as an influencer, I'm pretty sure you want to like get along with people, right? Like that's probably just a good rule of thumb anyway. And just, you know what I mean? Like let's let the drama subside. And there's some Facebook groups out there that get very negative and it's like,
hardcore.
This is about car cleaning, man. But
I'm just brushing a seat.
Yeah, you're brushing it wrong.
For real,
you're ruining it. That's so stupid.
You have to go from left to right, not right to left. Come on.
Yeah.
Who is this hack?
Yes. But, I love it.
All right, guys.
Oh, very good.
We kept it under an hour. How about that?
That was pretty good.
Excellent. Oh, we're just about there. We got 1 minute left, so if we don't want to hit that hour mark.
If you're listening to us on Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, wherever, we appreciate you. If you could leave us a review, hopefully 5 stars, that would be amazing. And if you're watching us on YouTube, look at this guy. Oh, there's a video right here with a playlist. More DIY Detail Podcasts. Click away.